Okay. Good evening. Okay, so I want to share the idea is to be interactive. There's a few rules. If you're not allowed to throw anything at me. Rule number one. Rule number two. Rule number two, please listen to the pastor. Rule number three. Okay, well, if I can eat it, it's okay. Rule number three, you're only allowed to ask one difficult question, and then you're out. Okay. And I don't need to answer a difficult question, which is also positive. Okay, can everybody hear? Okay, so it's supposed to be interactive, so I'm going to share one by one. I'm going to go through a few parts of where we are heading to. So I'm going to go into a bit of detail in some of the areas because I want you to know what's going on. So even if you're not necessarily involved in that area, that you would at least know what's happening and put your faith with us there. Okay, so I'm just going to pray for us. Father, we commit this evening into your hands, and we thank you, God, for your blessing and your presence here. Thank you, God, that you're the head of this church. Jesus Christ, you are the one that we are following. You are the leader, Lord, and we thank you that you impart to us grace, Lord, and that in the counsel of many, Lord, there's wisdom. And God, I just thank you for every precious person that's here tonight, Lord. We celebrate, Lord, each special individual here. We worship you, God, and we say, have your way in us, have your way in this church. And let your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I've got a question before we put anything on the slide. Guys, what is the purpose of this church? The self-facilitators, it was at the meeting. They were at the meeting on Monday. They're not allowed to answer. But anybody, any suggestions? What is the passion? What is the focus? What is the purpose of us as a church? What are we wanting to achieve? What? Okay, be a lighthouse. Yeah, that no clues in the background. Just random picture. Come on, I want to hear from you guys. What do you think? There's no right or wrong answer. There's just what, after the last, say, how long you've been visiting the church or in the church or part of the church, what would you say is the purpose, the aim, the goal, the plan? What are we wanting to do? Any suggestions? To equip the saints to reach the world. Yay! That sounds good. Yeah, that yep, we want to do that. To bring a little bit of heaven into the world, to show the world who God is in that sense. Yeah, part of heaven. Yes, definitely. You missed one, but well done. Give them a hand. Oh, wait, before you say, what does that mean? yeah, but normally you get that reaction in any case. But well done. At least you have a good idea there. Good. I thought so. Far too intellectual. A loving. That's blessed. A loving community. And Christ followers. Come on, Glynis. That's great. Anybody else? Hoi. Ideas. Suggestions. Okay, give me the four P's. People to serve.
Purpose to pursue.
Passion for Jesus.
A passion for the nation.
And what does that mean? No, well done, guys. I'm impressed. Any other ideas? What is the purpose, the passion, the heartbeat? What are we wanting to achieve as a church? Any other ideas? Just want to hear. To educate those who know God, the saved, to reach the lost. Through means of intimacy with Christ. Wow. That's powerful. And she's very new. Wow. I like that. We can work with that. Good. Any other suggestions? Ideas? Plans? The reason I'm asking is because it's important for us to know what is, if somebody would stop you in the street and say, what is your church about? Some people might say, hey, coffee. Good coffee. Which isn't bad. But what would be the heart, the center, the most important facet of what we're trying to achieve? Okay, if we look at the next slide. This is sort of the official Shofar International vision, purpose statement, mission, which is reaching nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. So it sort of tells you a process where we want to reach nations, we want to reach different generations, young and old, through disciple making, which is basically making them Christ followers, renewing their mind, leadership development, that they will step up to the plate and step into the calling and the destiny that God has destined them to walk in, and then church planting. So we want to plant churches all across the nations. Okay, but as we've just now seen, lots of people struggle to remember that, and more people even struggle to understand what that means. So, No, you guys are on, you're very close to Jesus. I mean, as you heard on Sunday, I mean, you guys have arrived. The rest, shame. Okay. If you were there on Sunday, you'll know that that's not so. Okay, and then I was in the holidays, previous holiday, I was thinking through this because I don't often preach about where are we heading. Because it's a very foreign concept often, and I focus more on relationship, and I believe genuine, authentic relationship is the foundation upon which we can pursue something together. If otherwise, it's very clinical, it's very cold, it's the vision. But if there's sincere relationship with one another and with God, then together we can actually achieve what God wants us to. And so I was thinking of how one can... what would be my local show for East London heartbeat, and to bring it a little bit down on a personal level. So if you look at the next slide, just one at a time. Okay. This is for me, the heartbeat. We want to see lives transformed. Not yet to build a big institution, not here to achieve anything else, but actually just to see lives transformed, whatever that might mean. The down and out becoming the up and in. The broken relations, broken marriages becoming whole. The lost becoming saved. The depressed becoming joyful. The whatever you want to put in there, but to see lives transformed. And that for me is great, because we've been hearing such wonderful testimonies of people's lives that have been transformed since becoming involved with the church and growing in their relationship with God. And so for me, that would be the heartbeat. To see lives transformed on whatever level, whatever facet God may lead you, but to see lives transformed, changed. And that's why I'm also preaching this series now, is because I want us to get that thing that God is into transforming lives. And if people come to church and their lives aren't transformed, then we're doing something wrong. That's sort of a test We have to sit somebody down after a month at church and say, is your life changing for the better or not? Okay, let's make the changes. So life's transformed. And the next one, what form of transformation? For good. And there's two things under the for good that I see. On the one hand, it must be lasting. Lasting. So we want to be here 100 years from now if Jesus doesn't come back before then. So we have a long-term focus. We're not short-term focused. We don't go for short-term results at the expense of long-term relationship for good. We don't want people to be saved, born again now, but a year later they've fallen away. They must be saved 50 years from now. Their children must as well be serving God and their children's children. It must be for good. Okay. Another aspect of for good must be if somebody has been involved at our church for a while, then the people around that person must come to us and say, I am so thankful that they are at your church because they have been such a blessing to us. You know, that's for good, for the good of the people around them. In other words, if there's a teenager in this church coming to Christ, then their teachers must say, wow, I'm so glad this young person is involved at your church. Or at a workplace, the people must say, wow, the people at that church, they work hard, they are faithful, they have integrity. In other words, for good. Lives transformed for good. Can you remember that? Can we say that? Lives transformed for good. You got it. Yay. Anyone can do so much around this, but this is for me what I want to see. This is what makes my job worth it, is when I hear the testimonies. When somebody on a Sunday or wherever else, that small group comes up and says, this is how God has changed my life. That's good. That's what you want. So I'm trying to point you to what are we trying to achieve. And then in brackets, but well, why do we do this? For the glory of God. So that when somebody looks at what's happening, they're hearing the testimonies, they're going to praise God. They're going to praise the name of Jesus, not say, hey, you guys are so awesome. But God is amazing. Okay, so that's sort of the vision in a nutshell, the mission in a nutshell. That's what we want to achieve. Any questions? See, but it's sort of memorable. Memorable is portable. And portable is good. Okay, so if I wake you up in the middle of the night and we forget that we're in a season of grace. No, I'm not going to say what I want to say. Okay. Okay, I want to ask you another question. Should church be perfect? Ye of little faith. She says we can never be because we are human. Okay, that's a good point. Anybody else? Should church be perfect?
Depends what you mean by church. No.
Say again?
No, otherwise we wouldn't be Jesus.
My goodness. We've got scripture, we've got different opinions around the topic.
If we're going to be perfect, Paul wouldn't say be long-suffering with one another.
No. In this church, we are perfect. Come on. No, good point. Good point. I was thinking about this. I would agree with Charlene and Dane and the other comments that if the church was perfect, we wouldn't need God because the church would be God. The church would be God. They would worship the church because we are so wonderful. And I'm sharing that because something needs to click here. Because often when we come to church or we think about church, we want perfection on some level, and then so often we are disappointed, but then we miss the essence of the gospel. I shared on Sunday, the glory of grace is if you shoot miss, but you still hit the mark because of the grace of God. So how about this? How about an imperfect vessel, an imperfect church, achieving a perfect result because of the grace of God? Then God will be glorified. Then God will be glorified. What is the perfect result? Blood washed children of God. That's a perfect result. So yes, it is a spotless bride. You're right, Dane. Because we are washed by the blood of Jesus. And yes, we are changing over time. As the scripture says, sanctification is a process. So internally we are washed, we appear in the sight of God so we can have relationship with Him. But the external manifestation of holiness, righteousness, sanctification takes time. And that will be finalized when Jesus returns. But I'm saying this because I think I love church. I love what it represents. A group of normal people like you and me changing the world by the grace of God. Imperfect normal people like you and me. I'm preaching on humility on Sunday, so if you're struggling with it, come on Sunday. And for me that is so beautiful. That for me represents the glory of God. That represents for me, it's for the glory of God. That you and I can have, God can change lives through our lives, even though we're not perfect. So church shouldn't be perfect. Make a peace with it. It's going to be messy. In a good way. Okay. Any questions about that? But I really want you to see this glorious, glorious, imperfect vessel of human relationships bringing glory to a perfect God. If you catch it, it is just awesome. I really, as I said, I love church. I love it, what it represents. Imperfect people. Okay. And then I want to say thank you to quite a few people. Because you see, church doesn't just happen. We have some amazing guys in the church. Set up Mana. Set up Mana. Thank you very much. And the ushering guys and the worship people and the small group facilitation. And the children's church people and the guys coming on Mondays to pray with us or before church on Sundays to pray with us. Those who are faithfully giving, guys, it's awesome. You're really being so faithful. It's amazing. We are really blessed. I mean, God is good. Thank you for your support and your enthusiasm. Never being negative or critical or anything like that. This is a wonderful church. And you are wonderful people. Give yourself a hand. Yay. But I'm excited about what God is doing in this church. Really. I am so excited. And every time I so often speak to people in the community and they say, oh, I've heard of you guys. You shofar people in the coffee shop. Heard such good things about you. Really? Yes. It really is so special. Everywhere I go, people are really speaking good things about the church. And that's wonderful. That's you guys. Good testimony. And thank you for everything you guys are doing. It's really awesome. I honestly believe that God will bless us for our faithfulness. We don't do what anybody yet. You don't get involved in church to impress somebody. You do it because you love Jesus. And that's awesome. And the more people that get involved, the less work or... just in Afrikaans say, vele hande maak ligte werk. Anybody heard that? Dane? Haven't heard that before. Something about lights. Someday you'll get with us. And then I also want to thank Michael. He's the super administrator guy, packing out sound here and sorting out the evening. His wife Diana sorting out the coffee for tonight and all the other thousand things that they're doing. I really appreciate it. He gives me the time to prepare my sermon. Okay, and now I want to build out a little bit about where are we heading, so you can know where we're heading to, into a bit of more nitty-gritty. Next point, family church. Okay, I'm going to shock you. Yeah, family church, guys. So I just want to announce something here. All the single people, please raise your hand. All the single people, please raise your hand. All the unmarried people, please raise your hand. All the unmarried people, raise your hand. Huh? Raise your hand. Okay. Unmarried. Yes, that's you, Luke. Okay. So I just quickly, you can drop your hands. Just want to, in terms of this, grace is over. We want a family church. We want you married by the end of the year. We want children by middle next year. It's in the Bible. It says it in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2. Go and multiply. So it is definitely of the will of God. It's in the Bible. A bridal coach, yes. We will have lots of courses for you. Okay, so in just terms of that, we are expecting much. Okay, but that was really a joke if you weren't sure. Okay. Just to make sure there doesn't some rumors spreads about the church. Okay. But we're putting out our faith for lots of weddings and lots of children. And so if you're looking for that, good church to be at. Okay. Family church. What does it mean, family church? Family church says children included. Welcome, Quibus. I just got the stare. Okay, no, I'm really kidding. Okay, we were talking about this. We had a children's church meeting a while ago, and we were talking about, because currently we don't have that many, say, toddlers or grade 1s to 6s in the church, but we want more. So as church works, you have to do it by faith. Faith, okay. So we're doing it by faith. And so we started this toddler service. During the evening service, we are paying the lady that's actually looking after our boy in the week. So she's a professional. She is in the room upstairs, over next to Lennon Corrin's house there, looking after the toddlers. And then some of the parents are also going to rotate with and support. But we are doing this service because it's very difficult for parents with small children to go to church and enjoy church, or even just sit next to one another in church. Okay? All the single people must now focus. I know this is not where you are at, but focus. For the married people. What? Yeah, yeah, okay, okay, let's say that as well. You must be married before you're allowed to have children. Okay. But we are paying somebody to look after the toddlers, and I want you guys to tell people about it. You know, if there are people with small children, tell them we're providing the service, and we are a family church by faith. Okay. And then we also upgraded the kids' church, grade 1 to 6. It's now Lifelight Kids. And I want to just introduce you our 8-week cycle. We've got Lifelight Kids, and we've got Lifelight to Youth Ministry, the teenagers. And next page. Okay, there's an 8-week cycle. I just want you to know what we're doing. We're breaking the children's church or the grade 1s to 6s, and there's an 8-week cycle. We're addressing specific topics, and some of those more evenings would be outreach opportunities. They can invite their friends because we want more kids. We love kids. Can we say that? We love kids. Great. One done. Okay. 8-week cycle. Go. You can go through all of them. Okay. The first week, this is a topic that we'll be cycling through these 8 weeks and coming back to them. We're going to talk about healthy relationships, how to make friends, how to keep friends, how to be a good friend, those type of things. Next week, we're going to talk about handling life challenges, stress of being a grade one-er, and it is stressful, okay? Third week, we're going to talk about how to trust in God. So it's going to be ongoing process of teaching the little ones to put their trust in God. We're going to break it down to their level. The fourth week is going to be arts and craft. Arts and craft. That's going to be like fun stuff, doing, building. That's going to be sort of a more of an outreach opportunity. Bring your friends, arts and craft. Then fifth week, relating to God. How do you relate to God? Who is God? Loving the Bible. We're going to talk about why the Bible is special, unique, something interesting, facts about that. Week seven, making a difference. How can you, your little life where you are, how can you make a difference? And then we're going to have a games evening. And during the holidays, there's going to be games every evening during the holidays. So there's going to be children's church during those times. And I'm just really worried about this because I don't think anybody's going to come to church anymore. They're going to go to children's church. But I'm very excited about this. And I'm highlighting this because I want to say this is a priority for us. Children, families. Okay, so just that you know where we are at. Okay, any questions about that? So especially during the summer times, we want to do games evenings. When it's summer again, we're going to have some great games here outside, and we need some of the mana, the guys, to join us and help out there during church time. Another thing we're doing, we're trying to bring continuity into the children's church. So how it works is every teacher is on for 2 weeks in a row. So the 1 week you sit in and just help, support, get to see what's happening. Next week you facilitate. But there will always be two people to bring continuity through. That's been a challenge as well. That sounds good, eh? Yes, the things the pastor has to struggle with. Okay. Another facet of being a family church is the picnics and the socials and the amazing race that we did. Not that beneficial for relational building between the groups, but within the group. It is wonderful. But I struggled with Brian. His foot was going down on the pedal the whole time. He probably listened to my sermon, "Grace, put your foot down." So I told him slower, slower, slower the whole time. Maybe not. Okay. And Shan was helping as well. Go, Brian, go. You heard. She heard. She heard. Thank you, Shan. But that was great fun. You know, but some guys, sometimes people share with us, they feel lonely, they feel not connecting relationally. So that's the reason we are doing these things. And we hear some people saying, but they want to connect outside of their small group. They want to connect with other people in the other small groups as well. So that's why we do these things. So if you can, obviously it's not a law, but be wonderful if you would join us for those things. There's a purpose behind it. And we're not trying to keep you busy. We're trying to facilitate relationship. And driving at 150 kilometers per hour down a short street, I mean, that just builds relationship. With Jesus as well. So that's wonderful. Okay, and then the Life Light. I want to say something about that, the teenage ministry. Just keep, get you updated about that. About a year ago, year and 3 months ago, I started the small groups with two different groups, the one at the Berger Family Home and the other one at Selborne. And it's been very up and down with some good fruit and things happening, especially at Selborne at this stage. It's going quite well. And so what we do there once a month, we have an outreach thing at Clarendon Hostel. So the Selborne boys come over there and there's the girls, and there was about 50, 55 the last two times. And lots of them committed their lives to the Lord. So that's very exciting. And so there are good things happening. And we had a meeting with the headmaster of Selborne yesterday. And it was amazing. The one parent that went with me, he just said, I can't believe how relaxed, how nice, how friendly he was. And he says, normally the headmaster is very professional, and we were laughing and having a ball. And he basically opened the school to us. So he gave us options between venues that we can use for the youth things. And so that's continuing. Very exciting. Really seeing life change in the young people's lives. And so we're starting small groups at Clarendon as well. Sandra? Yes, by faith we are starting there with small groups as well. And then I saw the Stirling hostel head as well. And he's very excited about us starting next term there. So we'll do a once a month outreach, praise and worship, me sharing, and then small groups the other weeks. So I'm very excited about that. They really need some help there as well. And so, yeah, I really feel that's going to grow. God has an awesome plan for the high school youth. These guys really want to go. I mean, the Selborne boys, the guys coming to our groups, they started their own thing in first break now. And they managing it, and there's about 40 boys coming to that thing, and they're running it themselves. We started our own SCU. Yay. Okay. Any questions about that? Just wanted to get you guys up to date, but I really feel God's going to bring growth in terms of that. In terms of venues, and in terms of morning meetings, I don't know if there are any questions about that, but venues, we would like to start with morning services next year sometime, which will be more family orientated. Those are all by faith and by the grace of God and all this lack of stuff. And continuing with the evening services, but have a more youth, young people, you guys, age group there. I don't know. We'll see what. I don't know what is the youth. Everybody under 30 is the youth at this stage. Okay. So. I'm very old. I'm over 30. You've got a driver's license. Okay, great. Okay, but so this is just in our hearts. At some stage, we would like to start morning services as well. Evening services will continue. So I'm trusting that we'll have sufficient of all demographics by the time we do the split or extra start thingy. Okay. Any questions about that? Positive. Okay, so it's just hard to do families in the evenings, especially with young children. It's not ideal, so we have to do some morning services. In terms of the venues, I've been all around town trying to get venues. I've been seeing closed doors, many spots, but I know God's got a plan. So one thing that we're looking at now, but this is not necessarily for church venue, but more for Foundations Bible School that we're starting next year probably, and prayer meetings and all the other stuff. Len Corin are going to extend the place here into their garage. And so what we are looking at is not definite possibility to build a level on top that can, you can put about 60, 70, 80 people in there with a staircase from the outside. And then we have a venue that we can use right through the week for whatever, prayer meetings or foundations, because our current foundations cost us a lot of money. We're asking 10 rand per person. It doesn't cost 10 rand per person, okay? So so that's something we're looking at the options of doing that. And I'm excited about that, just having a place you don't need to set up and struggle with and all the challenges that goes with that. Any questions? So the theme will be let's build. Let's build. Okay, then training, discipleship, foundations and Bible school. We haven't done Bible school. For those who are old in the school of shofar will know that we have a Bible school. And it basically runs on an evening in the week. We're probably going to do two sessions on an evening, say a Tuesday evening. And we're going to start beginning next year. And it's sort of a two-year thing. So I'm very excited about that. I know lots of people have been asking me about getting equipped. They feel they don't have sufficient knowledge about the Bible, about the things of the Spirit, about different facets. So just that you know about that, and that's why I want to do this venue as well, because then we don't have to pay for it extra and we can use it for that. Then the foundations, I just want to highlight the one. This is part of where are we heading, just for your heads up that you know. Our perspective seminar, the first one, is the most important one. Can you say one? One. Every perspective cycle, my wife and I scratch our heads to invite, to bug, to spam, to do whatever we can do to get people to come. Because if the cycle starts right, then it is so life-changing. And I found that one of my principles in life is bug, nag, push, negliness. Not at all. I bugged you for 3 months. Glynis, you really should do perspective. You didn't know everything. She said it. Everyone should do it. Yeah. Everyone has to do it. She said it. Oh. Okay, do you want to say it again? Everyone should do it. That's what you basically said. She thought she knew everything, but she didn't. And then she found out that at the perspective seminar, there's so many new things that you actually learn. Okay. So about that, we're wanting to change. In the past, it has been a bit of a challenge to somebody that is completely new. It might be a bit of an overload of information. So we are looking at changing the format. This past Sunday, we already changed it to small groups format. So we had a small group thing, and then, okay, ons vergewe julle. Bye-bye. There's only 2 people allowed to leave during the 8 and 9 slot, and then the next 2 people can leave at 9. Okay, that's wonderful. I'm almost finished. So we're looking at changing the format to make it more bite-size format. So we're looking at actually doing it maybe on a week evening, having 2-hour slots 1 week, another 2-hour slot the next week, another 2-hour slot the next week, the perspective seminar, so you can actually have time to work through it. But if you can please, guys, if it's such a life-changing course, if we can invite people to that, that'd be great. Nag them if you have to. Okay, then just, but almost finished. Community week. I'm going to give you a heads up about this as well. We don't have time in church to give you the details. As a church group, we feel that God is speaking to us about getting involved in the community. And so Michael and I, we've been doing some research, seeing different people, trying to find out where can we get involved. God wants to give us a heart for the community. And so what we're doing with this community week is we're going to create opportunities. Even if you're really busy, you can only give a Saturday morning or an evening somewhere, but to have an opportunity for you to come and the rest of the church to come and to get exposure to massive needs. There are massive needs in this town. Okay. So we've sort of putting this around getting a heart for the community. Again, just okay. We've got the blessed bees. We're building this around giving it three pillars or 3 legs. The one leg is build a blessing. So we want to do something practical. We want to go paint something, build something, really bless somebody that is in a crisis and they have nothing and nobody to do that. So that's going to be like a week-long project that people can just come and jump in and maybe paint. So we'll tell you exactly what the details will be. Then bring a blessing. This is also where everybody can get involved. This is physical things. Say we're going to need paint, then you bring paint. We'll give details later. Or whatever, we'll give you details. But as well, donations. Okay? So we want to give an alms offering, not this coming Sunday, but the following two Sundays, if I remember correctly. We want to take up an offering for the community. We're going to just put a box over there, and you can just put it in there. Okay? So I'm going to give an alms offering out of my pastor's salary. Okay? So I really feel that God is wanting to do something in our hearts. And then we'll see a manifestation of His glory outside of us. Okay, so if you can join us for that. And we're doing the meetings on Sundays at 4 here in the venue. And then be a blessing. And that's almost the most important one. We want you to go and play with an AIDS orphan or somebody sick in the hospital or visit somebody elderly and just sit there and see how lonely they are, how neglected they are, how suffering and struggling they are. So God can touch our hearts. It will change us. That's the idea. Getting a heart for the community. People of our demographics have a tendency to build our walls higher, more security, more electronic gate controls with zoop, zoop, zoop in, close, cheers, bye, TV. Okay? And we want to break out of that and actually really get God's heart for the community. Anything about that? Any suggestions? Things? One aspect, we actually spoke to a wonderful ministry this morning. Michael, what's the place's name? Sofolomakela. What? Sofumulela. Pumulela. Sofopumulelo. That place. Okay, it's a ministry. It's a ministry that came out of the First City Baptist Church. And I just think that's great. So it's interdenominational in terms of the people that are involved, but it's just great not to start your own thing, but to actually go and support where they're already, and they are very organized. I'm so impressed with what they're doing. It's amazing. It's like world-class treatment that they're giving to, I think, about 4,000 AIDS patients, 1,200 they're treating continuously. They have a hospice. They had 100 patients. A hospice is where people come to die. They're booked in by the doctor. They are dead. Then the nurses preach the gospel, and they pray for them, and then they get healed, and then they leave and go work. They only had 3 deaths out of the 100 that have been booked in. That's amazing. You know, and I want to partner with people like that. You know, I want to go bless people are doing a good job like that. They have got a school for AIDS or children that either have AIDS themselves or HIV infected, I'm not sure about the details, or their families are infected in some way. And they started with grade, they've got every year they're adding a grade. So they say have about 50 children at this stage, and they did tests with them to determine they come from preschool, and they did tests for them, are they ready for school? And they were better than the preschools of Selborne, Sterling, and Hudson. In there, 40% better. 40% better, that's what the guy said. Than the people, I mean, they bus them in from the bad places. They feed them. I mean, and these kids are doing better than the well-off children. Now, I like that. That's good. That's Christian. That's how it should be. And so another facet that they're doing, they help guys, they do lots of discipling, and they also do skills training. And they help people to start businesses, and then they go off to do their own business. They had wonderful stories about that. And so I was thinking, if we have lots of professionals here in the church, what if we actually go and provide our skills to equip, to help, to train, and get these guys going? I mean, these are AIDS patients that we had no hope. Lots of them in the hospice about to die. Now they get trained, equipped, and they actually go and make a life, a good life. The one guy says outside of the Spa in Vincent, I'm in East London, Spa in Vincent. He has his own little plant what do you call it, nursery. And the guy said that he's making much more excess of his, much more than most of us are probably making excess of his expenses. And now he's starting to franchise. And this was a guy that was left for dead in a sense. And he's now actually job creation. I think it's beautiful. Entrepreneurship. And so that's really something. These guys are really good and we can learn so much and make a difference. Yay. Woohoo. Yay. Okay, so build a blessing, bring a blessing, be a blessing. I'm going to be there myself. And a large part of this as well is that we're going to be praying. Wherever we go, we're going to be praying for the community. Wherever as part of it's going to be prayer. And in that week, we're going to have one or two evenings or three evenings maybe even that we're going to have praise and worship and testimonies and feedback. So I really want to encourage you. I know we're all very busy. But if you could make some of this, this could really change our lives. Any questions, suggestions, input? 5 minute break. I'm almost finished. Then we can have a 4 days break. Anything else? Nothing? Okay. Just want to end off then with this. Where are we heading? For those who do not know, we are Shofar East London. We are the head office of the Eastern Cape. I am the regional director. I have arrived. Okay, so I told the guy we're having a regional directors meeting beginning next term. I'm telling guys, relax, man, we've arrived. Come on, we have our title, so let's chill. Okay, so but on a serious note, we are the head office. So long term vision is we want to take over the Eastern Cape. Yay! Okay, for Jesus, obviously. No, but we just want to be open for what God has called us in terms of church planting vision. A facet of our vision would be we want to reach the black population or different cultural populations of East London. So we would start another church or another service in another part of town to reach another demographic. We found it doesn't work so like everybody together in one meeting. Different songs, different people. Whitey's get uncomfortable, all those things. Okay, so that's just something that we can pray about, and we really want to reach the other demographics of East London. And then the next church plant that they gave us to focus on as East London is Port Elizabeth. Okay, so we have been commissioned to go plant a church there, but I'm still fighting with George to determine who's closest. We're not sure, but I think it's us. Okay, at least we can fly there. And so that's just something to pray into. And so if the Lord gives you a job in Port Elizabeth, it might be God. Okay. So we want to plant a church there. Sometimes there are some people there that come from Shofar churches that are living in Port Elizabeth, and they're very keen to start a church there. So that's a good possibility. And then we're also connected to Barclay East. There's a church there. They reach about 200 black youth in the schools there, in the hostels there, and they educate them, disciple them, and send them back into the Transkei, and they are really making a massive impact on their families. Wonderful farmer couple, Gavin and his family that are doing that. They're doing awesome work. So we're connected with them, and we want to at some point do a short-term outreach there. So we want to go there for a long weekend and go minister to the young people, bless them, serve, pray, and just be like Christian. Okay. Any questions about that? This is where we are heading. Sometime down the line, we're going to plant churches. I've already arrived, but you will plant churches. Okay, this is maybe just last thing I want to say. Just on this topic of grace, those who've been to church this past Sunday or two Sundays, I know for some of us it's awesome, but for some of us it's also challenging. So I want to encourage you just to stay with us and hou vas, in a year we're going to get there. But I'm very excited about the season of grace. Our whole church group is going through a massive, massive reshift, refocus, as the Lord is causing us to focus more on grace. And I'm really excited about that. Okay, that's all from me. That's the Where Are We Heading Tonight presentation. And everybody say yay.
Yay.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Are you tired, everybody, now? Okay, let me just end off with prayer and then you can just fellowship. Father, we thank you that you are leading us, Lord God, and we commit all of these plans. God, we declare that some of it is our plans, Lord, but we pray that you would lead us, change it, adapt it according to your will and according to your spirit. And thank you, Lord God, that we can just ask for your blessing upon every facet of this, God, so that your name can be glorified, so that lives can be transformed for good. We bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.